certainly it's good to be here tonight.
Amen.
And I was telling, you know, this morning we talked about not being double-minded Sunday school. I walked in here, I felt like I was about triple, quadruple-minded, having four or five different thoughts in my head that know where to go. And I just kept praying, I kept seeking the Lord. And something was on my heart this morning to share, and I kind of didn't think more about it. And right before this gentleman and his wife come up and sung, the Lord showed me what I need to preach on. So sometimes the Lord does that. Make sure that you're instant in season ready. Make sure that you're seeking Him. If you got your Bibles, turn with me if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Very familiar scripture, and do the best I can to get through this. I may be a sobbing mess by the time I'm done, but that's all right.
That's wrong.
This is talking about Paul here. He had talked about how when he was stoned, way back in the book of Acts, he said he knew a man so many years ago that he didn't know if he was in the flesh or out of the flesh. In the spirit, out of spirit, didn't know. And I believe he's talking about himself here. He talked about what he saw when he was caught up to the third heaven. And verse 7, we're going to begin our reading. And we find here that Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me."
Amen.
And that's as far as we're going to go in our reading tonight. I'm just going to take my time and try my best to let the Lord lead.
Amen.
You know, as I was sitting there thinking about what to preach on and everything, the Lord showed me something about this morning I was telling you about that I wanted to share. And I may get into that here in a little bit, but that brought my mind back to this scripture. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know, sometimes we pray for things to happen in life. We pray to God and we think, Lord, He's going to answer in a certain way. We discussed that this morning about temptation and how we pray. And we think and we have it all figured out. Oh, He's going to come through and this is how it's going to happen. But we see here that Paul prayed three times for something from the Lord. And God gave him an answer. Not necessarily what he thought it was going to be, but he gave him something even better. I want you to listen to this. He didn't tell him, okay, I'll take it from you, or I'll ease the pain of the thorn, or I'll try to make it less distracting. He didn't address the thorn. He didn't address his problem. He addressed himself. He said, My grace is sufficient for you. Don't focus on the thorn, Paul. Focus on me.
Amen.
My grace is sufficient for thee. It's good enough to get you through this problem. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, if I was as strong as I wanted to be, then I wouldn't have any need of God because I wouldn't need to rely on Him.
Amen.
That's one of Samson's downfalls. He was too strong for everybody else.
And,
a lot of that caught up to him one day after a while.
Amen.
But it says Paul, he was so glad. Amen. He said this a couple times when he was in front of Agrippa. When he was in front of Festus and Felix, I am glad to speak for myself. You know, it's funny how we talked about this morning, be glorying and being counted all joy when you fall in diverse temptations.
Amen.
Paul here was glad when God gave him this answer.
Amen.
Amen. It was so much more than he expected, so much better than what he thought he would be.
Amen.
He said, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Amen.
I tell you what, it's so much of a greater thing to receive the power of Christ resting upon you than it would be to receive that answer that you were seeking for. Paul here talks about God's grace and how it's sufficient. Amen. This was Jesus speaking directly to him. We see that it's written in red letters. And we see here that Paul said, you know what, I've got a better outlook on things now. Hey, I can see things a lot clearer now. Amen. I can see that when I am weak, He is made strong.
Amen.
That's what it said in verse 10 there. Therefore, take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in even distresses for Christ's sake. Yeah. Why? For when I'm weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because of God's strength. Amen. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Amen. He said, I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of times we want to do all things on our own and through ourselves, but that don't get done, Brother Michael.
Amen.
Hey, a lot of times in my life I've tried to do things on my own, accomplish things. Hey, man, there was a verse of Scripture I just got done reading a few minutes ago in James. I've heard Randy say this several times lately. He talked about how you have not. Hey, because you ask not. But it says before that, it talks about you try to acquire, you strive to obtain, and you cannot. Because you ask it to consume it upon your own lust. You ask it amiss. Amen. So many times we try to go through life and try to do things our way. Hey, instead of doing things God's way.
Yeah. Amen.
And one thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about this message, amen, was how God shifts things around.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't exactly grant what Paul was asking for, but he shifted things around and gave a better option here.
Amen.
Now, the meat of the message here, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. God's grace is sufficient for us.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what we're going through, grace is unmerited favor, by the way. Hey, God's favor, amen, upon you is worth more than any kind of gold in this world that you can acquire. Been reading Proverbs lately where it talks about how wisdom is much worth more than silver and gold and rubies. And how you're supposed to seek after the treasure of wisdom, hey, than you are for the treasures of this world.
Amen.
Jesus said, lay not your treasures on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. Hey, but lay them up in heaven where thieves don't can't break in and steal. Hey, and where thieves can't break in and steal, where moth and rust cannot corrupt. Hey, for you, where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. But the meaning of this message will be coming out of Judges chapter 7. If you would, you could turn there with me. I begin to think about how God shifts things around.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes we expect God to answer in one way, and all of a sudden He shifts things around.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes the answer will come that we was asking for, but it was totally done in a different way. And I'm going to go to chapter 7 here of Judges. This is a scripture that came to my mind, so I'm going to do the best I can, my Lord, on this. Might be a short message, but hey, as long as the point gets across of what God wants to get out of this, hey, then we'll be fine. I want you to notice this. This is a powerful scripture here. In verse 1 of chapter 7 of Judges, it says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the hosts of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill Moreh in the valley. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands.
Yeah.
Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Amen. So we got 32,000 men here of an army that was going to go against the Midianites.
Amen.
See, the Midianites were troubling Israel here. And in the previous chapter, you'll find where God, there was an angel that was underneath an oak tree, saw Gideon threshing the floor. Amen. To hide from the Midianites, and began to call him a mighty man of valor.
Yeah.
Began to see something inside himself that he didn't even know was there. And we see here that God gives him a plan, saying, you're going to overthrow the Midianites. And Gideon probably thinks it's in this great number, 32,000 men. Surely we can overcome them with this many men. And God says, you know what? That's not good enough. There's too many men in the army.
Amen.
And he shaves off about 22,000 of them. He leaves 10,000 left. And he says in verse 4, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many.
Yeah.
Bring them down into the water, and I will try them there. We got talking about this morning. I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I will say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth up the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou sit by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. The number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men.
Amen.
But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. So let's do the math. You got 300 men out of 10,000.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not very good at math, but that seems like it comes out around about 7,000 or maybe a little bit under that.
Amen.
Maybe I'm wrong with that. I don't know, but that's somewhere around in that ballpark. 7,700, somewhere around in there.
Right.
So the majority of them was on one side, and 300 of them were left on the other side.
Amen.
So we find here that it says, the Lord said to Gideon, now God's talking to Gideon this whole time. I want you to acknowledge that. I want you to notice that. He didn't leave him in the dark and say, well, you go down and fight these people and everything will be taken care of.
Amen.
He's giving him instructions here.
Amen.
Specific instructions. And he tells him, verse 7, by 300 men that lapped will I save you.
Amen.
And deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his own place.
Yeah.
So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men. The host of Midian was beneath them in the valley. And if you'll read on there, you'll find out that God did exactly that. Amen. He shifted things around. They thought that they was going to go in there on their own power.
Amen.
And that they were going to overtake them by the multitude of men that they had.
Yeah.
And was going to go be able to go overtake the Midianites. But we find, as you read on down there, that the 300 men, hey, was able to confuse the Midianites. And the Lord sent confusion among them.
Amen.
Hey, so that every man's sword was turned against his self, his neighbor.
Amen.
So they ended up getting rid of their own selves because of the confusion that the Lord sent down there upon them.
Amen.
I want you to notice that. Hey, Paul's prayer that he had prayed was answered. Amen. He got the answer, but it didn't come the way he thought it would.
Amen.
Amen. And God told him they was going to overcome the Midianites.
Amen.
See, the goal was the same. Hey, the end goal, the end result was the same, but how you got there was different. You would think that it would take a lot of mighty men. 32,000 people seems like it's perfect. Hey, just enough to get and overcome the things that's going down there in the valley of Midian. Hey, but like God said, these men are too many, because what's going to happen? Hey, as the Israelites are going to say, you know what? By our own hand, we've done this.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes God wants to humble us and bring us down low.
Amen.
Hey, so we can get closer to Him. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, the Bible says, submit yourselves unto God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Hey, that He might exalt you. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, but I tell you what, sometimes God gives us an answer, hey, that requires us to get a little further down.
Amen.
On our knees. Amen. I believe we've seen a church sign coming down the road sometime not too long ago. Might have been yesterday, but it says, you know, you can't stumble. Hey, when you're on your knees.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, they got down there and they meant business with God. Hey, we find that God thinned out the crowd. And He sent those that was faithful, those that was able, hey, to overcome, that He could work with. Amen.
Amen.
God shifted things around completely.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. No doubt Gideon didn't even think of this solution.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, ain't it funny how God sometimes gives you a solution you ain't even thought of?
Amen.
Hey, the Lord, you think, Lord, I need more of this, or I need this taken care of.
Amen.
Hey, and it needs to be done this way. We think in our mind it's going to be done a certain way.
Amen.
Hey, but then God says, no, it'll be done. Or it might not be done exactly the same way, but I'll do something else.
Amen.
I'll go shift things around.
Amen.
So that you'll know it was for me. And
amen.
Amen. And I said all that to say this.
Amen.
Here recently was talking to Jerry.
Amen.
Talking about getting the lawn mowed. And me and my wife have been sharing a riding lawnmower with my brother-in-law, her brother. And you can imagine how sometimes it would be a little inconvenient to try to get that lawnmower back and forth between two different houses. And it was causing stress, it was causing anguish in the family. And I began to think about that, begin to seek the Lord on that, begin to pray about it. Lord, we don't have a mower, and it's going to cost so much to have a mower, and I've still got in my house, I work at home, so I still got to make time for that, to get all this stuff done. And I said, you know what, it's always been something that I'd like to achieve in life, be able to be a business that's growing to where somebody can mow the lawn where I can focus on my business. God's given me. And you know, the more I thought about it, the more, it's funny how, you know, you see a, you ain't never seen a car before in your life, a certain design, and when somebody buys one, you see one everywhere.
Amen.
It's funny how that works. It's almost like God just opens your eyes and says, pay attention.
Amen.
Well, the more I thought about that, the more I got to thinking, you know, every lawn I pass, there's funeral homes, they got to have the lawn mowed somehow. Churches, they have the lawn mowed somehow. Hey, businesses, car lots, that you go by there and they've got the lawn mowed somehow. They got to pay people to mow the lawn. Amen. That keeps them in business. That gives them a commission. That gives them money to live on. There's a job just about everywhere you see.
Amen.
You can make a job just about any of anything. But you know what was in my heart and my mind? Lord, you must be going to give me some more sales or something. There must be some more guitar lessons that's going to come in that I can make some more income so that I can afford to pay somebody to hold this lawn.
Amen.
Now, I'm talking about God shifting things around. See, the end goal, the thing I asked for was God to provide a lawnmower, but provide somebody to mow the lawn for us. And I thought in my heart one way it was going to be answered a certain way. Well, to pay somebody to mow the lawn, we've got to have more money.
Amen.
We've got to have more income. There's got to be a way to get... Because our bills are tight as it is, we got to have some more finances somewhere. And the way God answered that, see, He answered that. He didn't answer nothing like I thought of it. I'm telling you, this solution was not even in my brain. See, we rent from her father, her parents, owns this land, owns this property. And he saw how everything was kind of leading to confusion with having to swap the mower back and forth and trying to get everything coordinated and sometimes the grass would get too high that we'd have to mow it over twice and all this. It was just getting to be a hassle and a burden.
Amen.
And he saw that this was going on. He said, you know what? He said, to stop all this, now this man is lost. This man is not saved. He needs prayer. She's been praying for her family for a long time. And I'll tell you how God used this man. He said, I see how this is all going. I didn't hear about it. I heard about it from Melissa. She told me what happened. He said, I'm going to reduce your rent by $100 so that you can pay and have your lawn. Here I am thinking, Lord, I've got to make that extra money somewhere else. And God used what we already had. Switched it around. I'm talking about He just took it and just spun it around on top of its head. Hey, God used the men that Gideon already had. He got rid of some of them, but there was 300 of them left.
Amen.
And God said, you're going to accomplish this by my power. And God looked at me, amen, and it's almost like in my heart, God said, you know what, this was done because you asked for it, but it was done my way.
Amen.
I'm glad God does things His way. Amen. How about you? I'm glad that God's in charge. Amen. God is in charge. He's always going to be in charge. Hey, and ain't nothing that nobody out there in the world can do to change that.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad for God tonight. I'm glad He answers prayer. Amen. Hey, so I tell you what, let's just keep on seeking the Lord. Hey, let's keep on asking God for things, asking God for help, asking God to save our family, asking God to provide, asking God to supply our needs. Hey, because He's going to come through.
Amen. Amen.
You have not because you ask not.
Amen.
Hey, and that was the other part that I was pondering on forever, seemed like this last couple of weeks, seeking God.
Amen.
Seeking God. Hey, and Jerry preached on Hebrews 11:6. Them that come to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
But don't expect to receive anything of God if you don't diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Hey, you can say, God, I want this, I need this. Hey, God, I've been praying for this for so long. I've been doing this, but then you give up and you walk away. Don't expect to receive anything from God.
Amen.
I said, God, I'm in business here. We got to make this work.
Amen.
You know what? He made it work. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, the children of Israel got to the Red Sea. Probably didn't. They wouldn't know where to go.
Amen.
It was the sea or back to Pharaoh.
Amen.
Pharaoh was coming to either kill them or claim them back.
Yeah.
God opened a door that was bigger than any door He'd opened up to that point, right down the middle of the Red Sea, and they went on dry land.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God answers in ways that you know it's Him.
Amen.
You can't doubt when God answers, you cannot doubt that it's from Him. Amen, because He will show out every time.
Amen.
And I praise God for that tonight.
Amen.
So if you're seeking God for something, amen. Don't give up.
Right.
Hey, hold fast unto that.
Amen.
Hey, trust in God all the way. I'll tell you one of my favorite verses. Probably my favorite because I keep going back and back to it. Hey, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. Hey, with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. I opened my Bible that just a few minutes ago. I didn't know what I was going to preach on. And He said, trust me. With all thine heart.
Amen.
There's a passage I was going to read back in Jeremiah 29, around verse 13, where it says, then you shall find me when you shall seek for me with all your heart. How bad do you want something from the Lord? How much are you seeking? How much do you realize that God can take your circumstances and you got a thorn in the flesh or you got something you've been dealing with, you got something in your life and God can say, you know what, you don't need more money, you need more faith.
Amen.
And I thought about that. Lord, I don't need to make more money. I don't need to do this. I don't need to be focused on that.
Amen.
God, what I need is your favor.
Yeah.
I need your grace that is sufficient because that grace, hey, can move mountains that I can't even touch.
Amen.
That grace, hey, we're walking in favor with God, walking in the light as He's in the light. Hey, He can do things that money can't even come close to by.
Amen.
That's the kind of God I serve.
Amen.
That's the kind of God that shows up.
Right.
Amen. You can't buy. You couldn't buy the Hebrew children when they was in the fire. You couldn't have bought enough fire engines to put it out.
Amen.
All it took was Jesus. Hey, there was a fourth man walking in the fire, and they couldn't have paid for nothing. Had to extinguish that fire, but all of a sudden they come out of there without the smell of smoke on them.
Amen.
Daniel in the lion's den. We was watching a movie on Daniel the other day. Hey, he was in the den of lions. He was thrown in there. Hey, you couldn't have paid somebody else to go in there with them to fight them lions off and keep them off. Hey, but I tell you what, the angel of the Lord came and shut the mouths up.
Yeah.
God arrives on the scene. Amen. You'll know it. Amen. He'll answer. And He'll answer in a way that you probably don't even expect. Hey, but you'll know it's from Him.
Amen.
I ask Brother David to come give a song.
Amen.
I encourage you tonight. Let's all stand. I encourage you tonight. If you're seeking God for something, don't give up.
Hey,
the Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened.
Yeah.
Do you trust God with your life? Do you trust God with your prayers, with your answers?
Bless Him, Lord. Amen.
I encourage you to trust the Lord today.
Bless your
name. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The Israelite was the Prince. And I love that cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross, fill my troubles at last. Your love.